of Exodus chapter 13. Read a few scriptures tonight, starting with verse 20. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Exodus chapter 13, beginning in verse 20, says, "The Israelites left Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness." Verse 21 says, "The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night." Verse 22 says, "And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire from its place in front of the people." Tonight, with the Lord's help, I want to speak to you about the thought of following the cloud. We bow our heads with you. Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, it's a privilege to be in your house, Lord. On your day, Lord, this is your day, the day that you have made, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the praise and worship, Lord. Father, you are worthy of praise and worthy of worship. And Lord, we ask right now, Lord, as we open up and break bread, Lord, the word of life, Lord, yes, right now, God, I pray for your anointing, God, upon my lips, Lord. Help me to get out of the way, let your word come through. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. As you're getting seated, I'm going to get rid of this coat. Summer has returned in the Ozarks, amen? In the text we just read, we find that the Lord went ahead of the children of Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. If you study, you read the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, you know this story pretty well. The children of Israel had just been released from Egypt. For over 400 years they had been in bondage and slavery. We know that the story how the children of Israel went down, Jacob's kids went down, and Joseph went ahead of them, and in a few years, they stayed there. After a few years, the king of Pharaoh that was favorable to Joseph and his family died out, and pretty soon the children of Israel began to populate and get more and more and prosper. God blessed them, and they became a great nation, and the Egyptians got scared and basically forced them into slavery. For over 400 years, they were there in the land of bondage. It took 400 years and 10 plagues, but finally they were released from Pharaoh's grip. Amen?
Yeah.
And here they were. They're on the other side. No doubt this freedom had been coming for a long time. And it was a long time in the making. For over 400 years, they had endured hard times. They had faced slavery. Even they had to make their own bricks. And hey, when Moses came on the scene, it seemed like it got even worse. But here they were. They had been released from Pharaoh's grip, and now they were marching out of Egypt and headed into the promised land, into their own country that God had promised them through the prophet Moses. And there was excitement in the camp. They had great leadership in Moses and Aaron. Yeah. Moses came on the scene. He came before Pharaoh. He showed great mighty things through God's power. And here they were. Eventually, after 10 plagues, they were out. Yeah. They were on the, they're headed toward the promised land. They were looking good for the future. But it didn't take long for all that excitement to be sucked out of the camp. As soon as Pharaoh came to his senses after his firstborn died, and he mourned him. He began, the Lord says, he hardened Pharaoh's heart. And Pharaoh set off after the children of Israel with his whole army. And he began to pursue them. And he began to chase after them like a rabid dog, determined to capture the children of Israel before they reached the Red Sea. The children of Israel coming out of that. In chapter 14 of Exodus, it gives the details how Pharaoh quickly made up his mind and raced after them with all his army, and he lists how powerful his army was. Again, the children of Israel were just forming a nation. They were just beginning to become who they were. They didn't have an army. Pharaoh had an awesome army. He was the number one ruler of the day, the most powerful government of the day, and here he was chasing after the children of Israel. And they, no doubt, had their backs against the wall as they came to the Red Sea. Historians and theologians figure that there was close to 1 million Israelites that came out of Egypt, maybe even more. 1 million people that weren't trained to fight, and weren't trained as a nation, and here they were, backed up against the Red Sea while this mighty army was chasing after them.
Yes, sir.
Common sense tells you that this is a no-win situation for the children of Israel. How did they get out of this? Over 1 million people, and they're going to try to cross the sea, and it's not a creek, or a creek, or a stream as we have here in Arkansas, or Oklahoma. It wasn't just a little creek that you could jump across. This was the Red Sea, the mighty Red Sea. Here they were, they backed up. They didn't have in boats with engines to get across, or ferries, like we do nowadays. They had children with them, and women, and men, and older and elderly folks. And it wasn't just like they were just going to swim across the river. They were trapped as the Egyptian army pursued them. Yeah. It would take a miracle for this to get across.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what took place, church. Aren't you glad that God is still in the miracle-working business? Aren't you glad that He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore?
Yes,
amen?
Yes,
that He still does miracles today? Yes. Don't let anybody tell you that He doesn't do miracles, because He still is in that miracle-working business. He folded back the Red Sea, and the children were walking across to the other side on dry ground. There wasn't any bit of water. I believe there was no mud puddles, because when my God does something, He does something with excellence. Amen? Those sea walls rose up, and there was no water coming down on the children. So I believe they didn't even feel a mist as they walked across. But then the Egyptian army decided, if the children could go across, we're going to go across too. But then God immediately caused the waves, the sea, to come down upon the Egyptian army, and it drowned them in a mighty victory for the children of Israel.
Yes.
God won a mighty victory that day, and we still talk about that over 3,000 years ago. We still talk about that today, because it's in the Word of God, and I believe the Word of God. Amen?
Yes, sir.
But notice the key point in Exodus 13:21. It says, and the Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and He provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. Notice what is key there. The Lord went ahead of them.
Yeah.
Moses was a human leader. He was a great leader. As probably he's on the Mount Rushmore of Old Testament, or maybe even the whole Bible of prophets. Yeah. Moses is right there on Mount Rushmore. Amen?
Yeah.
He's a great leader. But church, he's not the reason why the children of Israel came out of Egypt and why they made it through the wilderness.
Right.
It was because the I Am was their leader. Amen?
Yes, sir.
The I Am was leading them. If you don't think that was a game changer, then just ask the Egyptians what happens when you tangle with God. Does anybody remember frogs? How about some flies? Hello? How about some lice? Some few plagues that the Egyptians had to face. As I was studying last night and preparing for this message and writing my notes, I had a fly. One fly that kept bugging me. You know how it is. They land on your nose, and you go to swat it, and you end up hitting your nose, and they land on your ear, and you hit your ear. Finally, I had my ball cap on. I took my ball cap on, swatted it, thought I got it. 5 minutes later, come back. Can you imagine millions of flies? That's real. That happened.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you tangle with God.
Right.
On the other side of God. And you're on the wrong side of God.
Yeah.
What made the children of Israel different was that they was following the cloud tonight, church.
Yeah.
Not just any cloud. This cloud represents the Lord's presence.
Yes, sir.
Wherever the Lord's presence is, that's where I want to be in my life.
Yes, sir.
Church, I don't want to be away from the Lord's presence. I've been away before, and it's not a pretty sight. It's not a good place. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. Listen to 2 Chronicles 5:13 says. It says, it came to even to pass as the trumpeters, I'll get it right here in a minute, and Samuel's words one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they had lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, this is referred to as the Shekinah glory of God. When God's presence would fill the temple with in a literal presence of smoke. That was the Shekinah glory of God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I don't know about you, church, but I want to follow the cloud tonight.
Yes.
I want to be in His presence again. Exodus 40. Chapter 40, verse 36 through 38 says, throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, and in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys.
Yeah.
So basically, church, if the cloud lifted, the children of Israel marched out. If the cloud stayed, they stayed. If God is not going ahead of them, then they're not going.
Right.
They're standing still. Church, if God's not going ahead of me, then I'm going to stand still.
Yes, sir.
I've learned in my short lifetime that if God doesn't go before me, then it's no use for me to even do anything, because it's going to be a disaster.
Uh-huh.
I need the Lord. I need to follow the cloud tonight, church. I have packed up and I went ahead of the Lord. And let me tell you, it's not a pretty place to be.
Right.
No. Amen?
Right.
Bear with me.
Just a second. I got a tickle in my throat here.
Where the Lord's presence is, that's where I want to be, church. So the Israelites had a great miracle, the Red Sea. God performed a mighty miracle. And there was buzz throughout the camp after this, after they seen the Egyptian army try to follow after them, and they were crushed in the Red Sea. There was buzz throughout the camp, a new energy swept through the camp. There was excitement because God had defeated their enemy. Amen?
Amen.
Perhaps they even put on their headphones, put on their iPod, and they were singing, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa! Brother Chris used to sing that. I can't sing it very good. You know the song. You know when you're happy and you break out that song.
Amen.
But then church, the wilderness hits.
Yeah.
Here they were, they had a mighty victory. God performed an awesome victory. Isn't that like in our lives, a lot of times God will perform something awesome, and then the wilderness hits. The children of Israel had come to the Red Sea and they crossed because of God's allowance and allowing them to do that. And then for the next 40 years, the children of Israel would be wandering through the wilderness trying to get to the promised land. Remember, God promised them the promised land. He didn't just bring them out to put them in the middle of nowhere, but he had a promised land for them. He had a nation for them. They were headed somewhere, but they didn't just come out and go to the promised land. 40 years they began to wander in the wilderness. I don't know why we have to go through wilderness as church in our own lives. Like our brother Bishop, the Bishop Evans preached the other night, there are seasons in our lives and they will come to an end, and I don't understand why we even have to go through them. If it was me, I would say, Lord, I just would take a written test and be done with it. Because I don't want to go through a wilderness. I don't like storms. I don't like them.
Yeah.
Anybody else in the house agree with me?
Yeah.
I know you're there. I know you're with me. I wish we could just skip the wilderness and into the promised land. Man, that sounds so much better than have to go through the wilderness. But when you look closely at the 40 years that the Israelites were in the wilderness, the cloud, the Lord took care of them for 40 years.
Yes.
They learned real soon if the cloud moves, we move. If the cloud doesn't move, we stand still. They may have spent 40 years in the wilderness, but God took care of them all 40 years. Church, he provided water for them when they needed water. The water came out of the rock. When the water was bitter, the Lord turned it into sweet and tasty and good water. When they complained about food and they wished they were back in Egypt, God provided manna, which the Bible says tastes like angels' food. Oftentimes, the historians say it may have tasted like honeycomb, but it was something that was good that was there they didn't have to work for.
Yeah.
You and I, we have to go to work tomorrow, and we have to earn our money and paycheck to go buy some food at the grocery store that's higher than a cat stack right now just to eat. They didn't even have to get up and go sweat by their brow. They just got out and collected it.
Yeah.
And then, when they got tired of eating all the sweet stuff and began to complain about meat, God provided quail for them.
Yeah.
He provided for them those 40 years. So even though they were 40 years in the wilderness, God still provided every step of the way.
Yeah.
Their clothes didn't tear up. Must have not even went out of fashion. You know, nowadays, clothes come in and go out of fashion, that if you just hold on to those clothes and wait about 15 years, you'll be back in style. But they must have not went out of fashion because nobody said anything in the Bible. It just said that their clothes never wore out.
Right.
And their shoes didn't wear out.
Right.
Man, I need some of those shoes right now because teenage boys, I can't keep a pair of shoes on them.
Yeah.
Anybody else with me?
Yeah.
We bought shoes just before school, and I noticed the other day one of them's already got a hole in them. Come on, Nike and Adidas, figure out how to make some shoes like those children Israelites had, amen?
Yeah, there you go.
It's costing us a fortune. But everywhere they turned, the cloud, God's presence, God himself took care of the children of Israel.
Yeah.
And same is true in our own wilderness experience, church. If we look back and we look closely, we find where God begins to take care of us again. I don't like being in the wilderness.
Right.
I don't like going through storms. I don't like having to face the trials of life. But when I look back through those trials, and I look back through those hard times, every single time I see what God has provided. Where God made a way where there wasn't a way, Brother Steve. Where God made a way where it didn't look like there was going to be a way. God stepped in and God provided, because he is Jehovah Jireh. And he is Jehovah Nissi. And he is Jehovah Shalom. He is my victory. He is my peace, and He is my provider tonight, church.
Yes.
So when I'm in the wilderness, I look back, church, and I see that those sometimes those are the sweetest meals, spiritually speaking.